Well, we want to welcome you back to the Heights Podcast. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at Heights Baptist Church in Alvin, Texas. At Heights, our mission is to love and to lead all people to a new life with Christ. And one of the ways that we do that is by creating content like this podcast, where we help you take your next step of faith. On this podcast, we talk about issues that relate to faith, culture, and the church. We want to take just a quick moment and let parents know that because we're going to be discussing some of the issues involving the sanctity of life, what it means to be pro-life, crisis pregnancy, women that are in unplanned pregnancies. This is a bit of a content warning for parents. So if you are listening in your car and you've got little ears, if you've got little ones that aren't quite ready to hear some of the topics we'll be talking about today, you may want to preview this episode ahead of time before you share it with your family. And today I'm joined by a very special guest. This is Jonelle Fields. Jonelle Fields is the director of the Inspira organization that's in Friendswood. This is one of the organizations that we have partnered with as a church for a number of years to support their work regarding the sanctity of life. And so we're going to be having a conversation today just talking about issues of life and what it means to be pro-life and the work that Inspira is involved in. So Jonelle, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. And Heights has actually been a part of Inspira Resource Center since the very beginning. They were one of the churches that helped start us in 1993.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's been over 30 years.
Yes. Last year was our 30th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Amazing.
That's exciting. So we have not known each other quite that long.
Not quite.
But we've actually known each other for a good long time.
Yes. About half of that.
We first met each other because my wife is a nurse. Mm-hmm. And primarily she works in the kind of the mother baby area, sometimes antepartum, postpartum, those kinds of units at hospitals. But one of the things that she did, gosh, a million years ago, was she went to Inspira as a volunteer. Mm-hmm. And that was how kind of we got to know Inspira. Do you mind talking a little bit about the name change? Like, tell me
Yes.
a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we were Center for Pregnancy for 30 years. And then last year, we rebranded to Inspira Resource Center. And one of the reasons behind that was because we didn't want to put any stumbling blocks in the way of potential clients. So a lot of times when they're coming in, they're not really thinking pregnancy. They're just thinking issue, problem, you know, what's going on here. And it's even just the word pregnancy is sometimes kind of a stop sign for people, as well as for volunteers and people getting involved. It was honestly really disheartening sometimes talking to people and they'd say, oh, hey, you know, I'm interested in having a table somewhere. You know, what do you do? I'd love to hear more about it. And then as soon as I would say, we're at the Center for Pregnancy, literal physical put their hand up and say, oh, no, well, I don't need you. Like, well, maybe we need you, though. So there was, unfortunately, baggage with even just the word pregnancy. And so we wanted to make sure that there was nothing stopping clients from coming or from stopping people who might be able to be interested in volunteering or supporting, as well as just for confidentiality for our clients. If a girl calls in and we have her number, we have permission to call her, but we call her and a boyfriend answers, we're obviously not going to give any information. So we'll just say, oh, never mind, we'll call her back later, you know, hang up. But obviously with caller ID, he can call us right back. And if he calls us back and we say, Center for Pregnancy, can I help you? That really doesn't.
The cat is out of the bag.
It really is. So just a couple of reasons that we wanted to have something that was more neutral, that would not also make the dads feel like it wasn't their thing. Well, they're not the ones that's pregnant. So just for so many different reasons, we really wanted to make sure that we had a name that was something that was neutral. It'd be better for someone to say, oh, Inspira, what do you do there? Rather than, I assume that I know everything about you because your name is Center for Pregnancy.
Gotcha. So speaking of what you do there, tell me and tell our audience a little bit about the kinds of work that you do at Inspira.
So first of all of our services are always free. We're supported by so many wonderful churches and individuals. This is not a taxpayer-funded thing. We're not taking government funds because we know that this is a ministry of the local churches. And when Heights and several other churches started us in the 90s, that was the goal, the hope. And so we're there to just help support, love on, and encourage these moms. So we offer free pregnancy tests, limited ultrasounds, which is one of the things that Catherine did when she was there, provide the ultrasounds, and parenting classes. So a lot of what we do is the parenting classes. Sometimes parents, when they come, they were not expecting to be pregnant, but with the help and the support, they are able to come into those classes and earn points. And then with those points, they get diapers and wipes. We've got a little store that's, once again, all donated items that's either new or gently used items that the parents can come to. And they can come to all those classes until the baby is a year old. And if there's a need, sometimes we can push that a little bit farther. But our hope and our desire is to be that group and that individual that is able to walk alongside these moms and the dads as well, and just show the love of Christ in word and in deed. And we're able to do that because of the wonderful support from so many of the churches like Heights.
That's awesome. I was curious about that, if you deal primarily with moms or if there's actually a lot of dads that get involved.
Yes,
too.
Yes. That's something that we're definitely also praying that the Lord will open more doors in that, because right now we don't have a dadvocate, but we have our client advocates that work with our moms, and we're always encouraging the dads to come with the moms, even if they're not together, as long as they're in a safe relationship. If he's a safe person, we always encourage him to be able to come in to do the classes with her. We also have a whole entire curriculum for the dads as well. That's a video-based curriculum as well. And so we can send him those links to watch the videos, and he can come in with her as well. So we really want to make sure that they know that this is something to do together as a couple, mm-hmm. that parenting is going to be both of their jobs as well, and encourage him with that.
Now, we're recording this kind of mid-January right now, so we're actually just a few days away from Sanctity of Life Sunday, mm-hmm. as we're recording this. And so, of course, that's always kind of a time that I think about kind of where we've been as a nation and in the history of kind of the pro-life movement and the pro-life cause. You know, this is a an issue that's been really near and dear to my heart for a long time. I got involved in advocating for pregnancy resource centers at a relatively young age. When I was a kid, my mom was the pro-life liaison and pro-life coordinator for the pro-life ministries of the church that we grew up in. And so I spent my elementary and teenage years hauling equipment to pregnancy resource centers, participating in walkathons, running sound for fundraisers. I mean, there was just a lot of that going on, in our family, that we were all very involved in that ministry. But then sort of the landscape of what's happened in our country has really shifted in the last kind of 12 to 18 months with the Supreme Court Dobbs decision, which was, I think, last June.
Yeah, 22. Mm-hmm.
And so I was reading up on that again this morning just to kind of refresh my memory of kind of the timetable. But so we find ourselves in kind of a different kind of political landscape now versus where we were as a country for many, many years. Like, how has the ministry of Pregnancy Resource Center, how has that changed since Dobbs, or has it not really affected it very much?
No, it very much has. People are more desperate than ever, mm-hmm. because before Dobbs, they felt like they had time to, make a decision, time to come in, get an ultrasound, see how far along they were, consider. But now we're getting calls every week that people that just, they want to still see if they can get an abortion pill, and we have to tell them it's not legal in the state of Texas. That's, of course, not to say that people cannot obtain it illegally, but obviously we tell them we're not performing or referring for abortions, but it is very important for your safety to get an ultrasound first. The thought of women out there who've not had an ultrasound that don't know how far along they are, taking, unfortunately, illegally gotten pills off the internet or wherever, is very scary, and it's such... It's heartbreaking to think that people are so desperate that they, are resorting to things like that. But when people are calling in, they are just so much more, it's a more immediate thing for them. And so having to ensure that we have the information, because sometimes they're willing to come in and just talk about, okay, let's talk about abortion information. Like, you wouldn't go into a medical procedure without having some idea of what's going on. So, we give them the Texas Women's Right to Know brochure that's put out by the State Department of State Health Services, and just information about knowing how important it is to know how far along you are before you proceed. But because of the now the things that they see as obstacles in their way of stopping the pregnancy, they are just feeling more desperate. So we've had a lot more calls, people asking for, some of them are asking for ultrasounds, but a lot of them are just asking for information on what they can do and where they can go. And just trying to be there for them. And obviously, we're not always going to be able to give them what they want, because unfortunately, a lot of times what they're wanting and what they think is the best thing for them is to go out of state and get an abortion.
Right.
But if we can be there for them and say, hey, let's take a deep breath for just a moment, come and sit down and talk about what's going on and how we can help. And let's think through the options and not just a lot of times, you know, it's called pro-choice, but unfortunately, a lot of times they don't feel like they have a choice.
Right.
They feel like this is their only choice. And the desperation has been the thing that I've seen increase since Dobbs.
One of the things that was kind of that I was made aware of, you know, when I was growing up, was because, you know, one of the things that my mom, when we grew up, we went to a pretty big church, you know, several thousand people. And so she would periodically do a literature table. And you know, this was Orange County, California. This was a upper middle class, somewhat affluent church. But one of the things that we always noticed was that the post-abortion counseling material tended to go pretty quick. And that was just a very sobering reminder for us that this is an issue that affects a lot of people, even in our churches. And I was thinking about what you were saying about how, you know, the word that they describe is pro-choice, but a lot of times people that find themselves in this situation don't feel like they have a choice. You know, and that just reminded me to kind of be careful how we talk about this issue. You know, I think for a lot of us, sometimes we think about this as a ballot box issue.
Mm-hmm.
We think about this every 4 years in November, or you know, maybe every couple of years. But being pro-life, believing that every person, even those who haven't been born yet, are created in the image of God and are deserving of dignity and value and worth. Like, being pro-life is much more than just like a way that you bought. It's not just a legal issue. It's not just a political issue. But at Heights, we talk about, you know, when we talk about being pro-life, that means advocating for, you know, every person, you know, and that includes moms who find themselves in a position that they hadn't intended on, you know, finding themselves, and also, you know, advocating for children who aren't born yet. So I was wondering if you could just kind of talk a little bit about kind of how we can be sensitive to that, like as churches.
Mm-hmm. You know, I should have looked at the recent statistics. When I took the post-abortion recovery class training several years ago, I believe the statistics were 1 in every 4 women in churches have had abortions. And once again, it goes back to whoever's without sin, throw the first stone.
Mm-hmm.
We act like, you know, oh, God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people, you know, like the Pharisee. And we act like it's an us and them thing, when instead of realizing that they're but for the grace of God, go we. You know, when I talk to these moms and I see the situations they're in and I think, oh, well, you know, okay, where I am right now, I wouldn't make that choice, but I have been raised in a stable environment. I don't have to worry about where my next meal's coming from. I, you know, have been very blessed to not have those very basic needs be what drives me, and that is not the case for a lot of people. And so even the women in our churches and the men in our churches that have been hurt by past abortion decisions, they deserve the compassion and the grace of the Lord, and those in the church as well as outside the church, but especially outside the church. Obviously, if a person is not walking with God, why would we think that they're going to make a decision based on, you know, based on God's love and His mercy and the gift of life that He's given us? But it's been amazing to see. There's so many times when God has given me the opportunity to, in churches or even in individuals, you know, that I know personally, sitting and talking to someone and they say, oh, what do you do? Oh, well, I, you know, work at the pregnancy center. And it's amazing how often I just feel like the Spirit of God telling me, I think this is something that we need to talk about, because just that it's a fear that I feel coming for them of a, you know, what are they going to think? And I love that when I'm able to say, you know, we are so passionate about making sure that mothers who have made that decision in the past and have regrets about that and don't feel like they can talk to anyone, we want them to know that they can come and there's healing and there's forgiveness in the Lord. And we have a post-abortion recovery class that they can come to, and we want to make sure that they don't go through this alone, because it's a very alienating type of grief, because on the one hand, they can't go out and tell the secular world. The secular world is telling them to be proud and shout their abortion.
Right.
And they feel like they can't tell the members of their faith community, their church, because of the shame and the guilt that's involved in that. So they're very much alone. And so that's one of the things that's powerful about the post-abortion recovery class, is that having the women come together and understand, this is not, I am not the only one that's gone through this, and God can and will forgive me. And just to feel that healing, it's just the peeling back of the layers, It's not like they go through this class, and it's an extensive 12-week class, but it's not like you go through that and then everything's fine. But it's just that beginning of the healing. And there's so often that we talk about it just as the, just obviously in the negative, in the, well, we would never do that, those who make this choice or that. But not realizing that there but for the grace of God go we. And it's so important to understand and realize that until we've walked in their shoes, we don't understand what it really means to have made that decision.
Yeah, I think, as difficult as finding yourself in a unplanned pregnancy can be, and as devastating as having made a prior abortion decision is to, to everybody who's involved, we worship a God who's so much bigger than that, and Jesus Christ went to the cross to cover, all kinds of sin, mm-hmm. all of our sin, including, decisions that we've made in our past. And so, and praise God for that, because in Christ there is healing and there's redemption. So important, I think, for those of us, I'm just thinking about that number, like 1 in 4, maybe 1 in 4, 1 in 5. So just think carefully. I've been in situations before where, I got kind of, obviously, I've been, the cause of pro-life and the children who have not yet been born being image bearers of Christ is something I'm very passionate about. I've been passionate about it for decades. There have been times, like in small group Bible studies, I've gotten kind of worked up about it, and I've been pulled aside by very caring friends who said, hey, you need to be aware that there are people in this room that have been impacted by, a previous decision, and to be very careful how we speak. We don't want to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ like they're wearing a scarlet letter.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman or a couple find themselves in a crisis, we don't want them to have a scarlet letter. And if somebody has made that decision in their past, we don't want them wearing a scarlet letter either.
Mm-hmm.
And so just letting our speech always be filled with grace, and just be careful about kind of how we talk about this issue.
Yes.
Thinking, living in the world that we live now, kind of post-Dobbs, I never thought I was ever going to see Roe v. Wade mm-hmm. be overturned in my lifetime.
Me either.
I was shocked when that happened. When the news articles broke that was going to happen, I didn't even believe it. Like, I was like,
yes.
That's something that I'd always hoped for, and mm-hmm. I'd always prayed for. But when it actually happened, I was like, oh, holy smokes. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, but like you said, like now, like the battle isn't over.
No.
The ministry isn't over, because it was never about just a law or just a court case or just a political issue. It's about meeting these women and also the fathers also and meeting them and supporting them where they're at, and advocating for the cause of little ones and families.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one of the things that I'd love to talk about is, what are kind of some of the specifics? What are some practical ways that we as church folks can get involved in the cause of being pro-life in a way that's more than just the ballot box or just political activism or court cases?
Well, and that's something that's so important to me, that pro-life is not really a political issue. Obviously, there's political ramifications and things, but it's a spiritual issue. It is so much more important. It's a moral issue. And understanding that is, I think, where to kind of get started. And it's going back to James. If you see a brother or sister destitute and naked and they don't have clothes and they don't have food, and you say, go in peace, be warm and be filled. and you don't give them what they need, what good is that? You know, you say you have faith, show me your faith by your works. And so we say we're pro-life. We say, oh, we want every mother to make a life decision. We want every child to be in a safe and loving home. And then all we do is vote about it, and we don't actually help these mothers. You know, where's our works? We can't just say we have faith, you know, we're good. We've got to be able to go and help these moms. And so it starts with that understanding, as well as the understanding of, yes, we might not always understand what it's like to be in that situation and to want to make that choice or to feel like that's the only choice we have. But obviously, God said that there's so many things that we do in our hearts that are the same thing. So it's that understanding of we have got to be loving, and we have got to be sharing the grace and the love of Christ. But so just praying, understanding, and then getting involved, seeing what you can do. It's not always about, yes, so many pregnancy centers need, you know, the volunteers to be able to come on a weekly basis, and like Catherine did, coming in and being that client advocate, being the, you know, if you have medical background, that's always wonderful too, to get trained to do ultrasounds and things like that. But if that's not where God has called you, you can also come in and help change the air filters. You know, we need someone to come in and put, you know, oil on the hinges sometimes, you know, things that there's just so many different areas that you can get involved in. If you can't come and volunteer on a regular basis, just see what the need is. Just having that understanding, praying, seeing what the need is, and giving of your time and talents and treasure, because the pregnancy centers that are in the area cannot do this alone. We're not there to do this alone. We're here to partner, because when a client comes in, we don't want to, we're not able to be everything to them. So our desire is to be able to plug them into the local churches. So having that, starting with that understanding of the love and the grace of God that we should show to everyone, regardless of what they're going through, or if they might have a different background than us, what's going on, so that we can also welcome them into the church, is so important. So there's so many different ways that I love, you know, reading about the building of the temple in the Old Testament, and how it said that God put the wisdom, and he put the talents in those men's hand that could do amazing works with the linen and with the iron works and all the different things. And it's just like that. If you have the compassion and the just the carefulness of being able to speak to a person, and you feel that God has called you to come and speak one-on-one to these moms or these dads, that can be how you can help. If you just have the ability to decorate and you want to come help us make sure that the lobby looks great for our clients, so that when they come in, they feel immediately at ease and comfortable, that's important too. So there are so many different ways, but it all starts with praying and understanding these moms, and understanding how we can start to support and help them, and understanding this is not just a women's issue.
Right.
It takes two. And so we need both the women and the men in the church to be able to stand up and be a part and advocate for these mothers, so that we do have the opportunity to help serve them as well as their unborn children.
I love what you said about looking for a dadvocate too. Like
I went straight to dad joke territory, I feel like, with that.
Yeah, I think about, you know, when I was in high school, I was hauling medical equipment out of the back of pickup trucks, setting up pregnancy resource centers in our, you know, like around our town, because that was part of, you know, what we were doing in my home church. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, I'm not a medical guy, you know, obviously, you know, my wife has like a whole bunch of skill sets when it comes to, you know, the kind of the day-to-day, the day-to-day operations that would serve a center like that. But, you know, somebody like me who's got a strong back in a pickup truck, you know, I can, you know, take equipment from point A to point B, or, you know, and things like that. So yeah, there's lots of different ways you can go. And then obviously you guys are, how are you guys funded?
Just by individuals, donations. So we do a couple of fundraisers a year. We do our baby bottle fundraiser, which is so much fun because I feel like it's the easiest thing. We give little empty baby bottles to churches, and then folks take them home and for a month fill them with their spare change. I say, sit in the console of your car, and, you know, when you go through McDonald's, just put the extra change in, and that really does help. And then we do a golf marathon in the fall. Sometimes we do a banquet as well. But it's just by the individuals that have been moved by the Lord to give, to support the ministry.
One of the critiques that you hear of the pro-life movement often is, well, you're you're not pro-life, you're just pro-birth. You know, once the and a lot of times this kind of gets into kind of like politics, you know, and kind of less left versus right. And but one of the complaints or the criticisms that those of us that are pro-life often hear is that, you know, well, once the baby's here, you don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what are some of the ways that people in churches can minister to children, you know, once they're here?
Well, and that's one of the things with the pregnancy centers, that nothing could be further from the truth than to say pro-birth. You know, that is the whole reason that pregnancy centers exist, to be able to help and support those moms. So, but being able to see what's going on in the pregnancy centers and say, hey, how can we help with, we always do a Celebrate Moms event for the moms every May around Mother's Day, and encourage them. We always have childcare for that, because most of the moms have more than one kiddo, and just a time for them to not worry about where their child is, and you know, get involved and be with other moms, and so encourage that way. So we have all of the items for the children that they would need, basically until at least two toddler. And then just checking to see where else we can plug in, where else we can help. Moms a lot of times need childcare. That is one of the biggest things, especially the majority of the moms that we see are single moms, and not having a safe person to place your child with while you go and look for a job to be able to provide is huge. That's a big need. Just seeing where you can connect with these moms and encourage them and help them in very practical ways. So childcare is always a big need, and that's not something that we, you know, do at the pregnancy center. But as we connect moms to churches and organizations that can help them longer term, that's where you can see and connect and say, okay, what's the childcare being able to help with? At Christmas time, a lot of times we do a adopt a family type of a program where these moms are able to come in and get gifts for their children, because otherwise most of them wouldn't have, you know, much of a Christmas gift at all. And so we are so encouraged by the support that we've had from the community to be able to help longer term. And while our program only goes to a year or sometimes a little more after the baby is born, we always try to stay in touch with our moms for as long as possible. We have, you know, I've gone to kiddos' soccer games and birthday parties and things, and it's just so wonderful to see them growing up. Now that I've been at the pregnancy center for 15 years, these kids are teenagers, and being able to still continue to connect with some of these moms and just see what other things they need, to be able to see what we can plug them into, is just huge. But it's wonderful that we've had so many families and so many of the churches that I see. We've got so many families that are helping with foster care and with adoption, and that's always a wonderful need and a wonderful place to help. But what if we can help these children not be in foster care in the first place?
Interesting.
What if we can help these parents to be able to parent their child so they are not feeling like they can't do this alone? So that's where the pregnancy centers come in, to say, how can we help and what can we do to help you be the best parent that you can be, and to help you succeed as parents.
And I would imagine that for those of us that are in local churches, like that's a process that continues long after they've kind of aged out of, mm-hmm. like the ministry of a place like Inspira. Like if you have single moms, if you've got families that are struggling in your church, like come alongside those families. You know, child care is an issue, especially for single parents, you know, and Christmas gifts are an issue, especially for single parents, you know. So I'm thinking, you know, even once they get beyond maybe the age range that you're specifically dealing with, like those are families we should be keeping our eyes on, you know, for those of us in churches. If you've got people in your church, in your life group, in your small group Bible study, like those are places where you can do ministry, even, you know, just within your local church.
Mm-hmm.
The women that you come into contact with, do a lot of them choose to go through like an adoption process? Do most of them keep kids? Does it just depend?
Yeah, that's one thing that's heartbreaking in society right now, is just how stigmatized adoption is, and how difficult that is for a woman to choose. So we always give that as an option. You know, we've got a couple of different informational packets on different adoption agencies, and we always give that to someone who is not sure what they're going to do, not sure if they can parent, and that's really not something that we see people choose very often. Now, obviously, a lot of times when the moms come in and they are considering abortion or wanted to choose abortion, a lot of times we don't always get to hear from them afterwards.
Right.
So we don't know. You know, there's, when we get to heaven, we might see so many people that chose adoption and their children were healthy and fine and wonderful, but we don't know. So a lot of times it's harder for them. And from their perspective, it's an easier thing to do to choose abortion because they say, well, if I go through the 9 months of pregnancy and go through the pain of delivery, and then I have to, quote, give my baby away, that would be very difficult, and I don't want to do that. I want to have this abortion before I feel connected, you know, before Gotcha. I feel like this is a real baby. And so a lot of times it, in the moment, seems like an easier choice to them because of the very real emotional ramifications. No one's going to say adoption's easy. That is Right. a very difficult choice to make. But to help them to understand that it is still a, you can still be a part of that baby's life, to understand that open adoption is just adoption in general these days is so much better than the olden days.
Right.
You know, there was so much of a stigmatized, and we still see it in media and things portrayed, because back in the day, it was very traumatic, taking this child away and not allowing the mother to see or bond with the child at all, not allowing there to be any contact. So with open adoption, we can help explain to them, you can make this plan. You're not giving your baby up away. You're making a plan for your child. You are able to choose the parents that they're going to be with. You are able to have that connection to where if you want to, you know, write them letters, they want to write you, you can usually connect up with them and, you know, see them at Christmas and things like that. So just helping them to understand the truth of adoption now, but it's still a very difficult choice.
Gotcha. And then, you know, and then on the other side of it, you know, we've got several families at Heights that have gone through the adoption process. We've got several adoptive families at Heights, and it's been just a cool blessing to be kind of on the other side of that, to watch, you know, to watch God bring families together, you know, and watch God bless families with children, you know, and to be a part of that, to be a part of supporting that. Like, I just praise God for that. That's, you know, something that Christians have actually been known for since the very beginning,
yes.
since the Roman Empire,
yes.
you know, and so being able to continue that tradition and being a part of that, I think is a huge blessing. Do you have anything that you'd like to talk about or kind of promote as far as what's going on at Inspira right now?
Yes. Yeah, we're having our and obviously, if you watch this or hear this in the next week, this will help. But we're having our open house on January 25th from 5:30 to 8:00. So we'd love to see anybody here at the Pregnancy Center. We'd love to have y'all come by just to have some light refreshments, come take a tour, see what God is doing there physically at the center. And it's, we always have just other opportunities throughout the year to either have some training or to learn more about. I would love to talk more to people if anyone has a question about how to talk about their pro-life beliefs, as well as understanding how important and powerful our words are. There's so many times that well-meaning people say things that really do not help these mothers feel loved and cared for. There was something that I read just a couple of, like a year or so ago, that I had heard for years and thought, oh, well, that's nice that they're doing this, that they're trying to help this. But hearing it from the mom's perspective really put a different light to it. And that is telling a woman, you know, in this situation, the person was outside of an abortion clinic, which is not something that we do as pregnancy centers, because we want to be, unfortunately, you can't say who's going to be outside next to you, and someone might be out there not showing the love of Christ.
Right.
And if you're standing next to them and a mom walks up, she can't differentiate
right.
between you trying to share the love of Christ and the other person that's yelling. So right.
With a megaphone and a sign.
Yes. Yes. So that's not something that we do. But in this case, this was a person that was standing out there and talking to a mom as she walked in and saying what so many well-meaning people have said, I'll take your baby. I'll raise your baby. Like, don't do this. I'll take your baby for you. And what this mom said was, what that communicated to me was, I don't care about you. I just care about your baby. Like, I don't know what you're going through, but I'll just take this baby and I'll care for and love this baby. You go do you. And so there's things like that that we don't realize, that well-meaning, we mean the best thing. We want to be able to help that mom. But when we say things like that, it comes across as, I only care about this child. And that could not be, nothing could be further from the truth. If you love that child, you have to love that mother too. Both of them are individuals that were created in the image of God and are worthy of love and value. And so loving that mother first is the only way that even we can help reach that child. But understanding that we are there to be able to give them the value that so many people have taken from them in their lives. When they come to us, they're so often beaten down with the pressures, with the stress, sometimes physically beaten. And being able to give them the connections that they need to help them, to provide justice for them if that's what's needed, and to provide safety and protection emotionally, spiritually, and physically is so important. So just be aware of our words and how, try to think about what I'm saying right now. How does that come across to someone who might have had an abortion in the past or who feels very alone and is not connected with a wonderful group? So many of us, having been raised in churches, don't understand what it's like to not have that church family around us. And it's so wonderful to be able to be that for these moms and to connect them with these churches so that they can have those long times. But I just encourage everyone to think about what we say and think, just ask the Lord to give us those words of grace seasoned with salt that we can minister grace to these mothers and to these fathers as they're going through very difficult times.
Lead with love.
Yes.
You know, I think about, again, you know, the political landscape and the kind of the legal landscape changed, you know, in 2022. But at the end of the day, like for those of us that still feel passionately about the cause of advocating for, you know, those who are not yet born, that is a cause that is won by changing the hearts and minds of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that we've kind of watched over the last couple of years as we've like looked at like midterm elections and things is like, this has been an issue that's kind of, it's been a very complicated issue, like in elections at the state level, you know? And so this was never going to be something that was going to be won just by overturning one Supreme Court case or by passing a certain law. At the end of the day, advocating for those who are not yet born and being willing to step up and support women and families that are in crisis, that is what is going to accomplish changing hearts and minds on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that we as the church would be that force that would speak the truth of the love of Christ and the gospel into our culture in a way that leads with love. So that we are able to change the culture in the same way that it was changed in the 1800s, primarily by people who in the church who spoke out against slavery,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I believe that, you know, the political side, the legal side, I think those issues are important. I follow them very carefully when, you know, things go up with SCOTUS and things like that, but ultimately at the end of the day, like the laws are going to reflect the hearts of the people in the nation, you know? And so always being willing to lead with love, lead with Christ, speaking carefully personally, speaking carefully on social media,
mm-hmm.
You know, and being a people that advocate for life and that want to be a support for mothers and families that are in difficult circumstances rather than looking the other way, rather than being judgmental, rather than kind of being condemning.
Yes.
So yes. I'm looking forward to moving into kind of this next era of what it means to advocate for life in this country and in our state. And I want to say thank you so much, Jonelle, for joining me on the episode today as we talk about what it means to be pro-life. And thank you so much for the work that you are doing in Spira. And here is to many more years of partnership with Heights Baptist Church and churches just like us.
Yes, thank you so much.
So we want to say thank you so much for joining us for this episode. If you are in the Houston area, we meet for worship at 10:30 a.m. At our Alvin campus. That's on the south side of Houston. And we have life groups for all ages at 9 o'clock. We want to say thank you once again for joining us. You can follow us on social media. Be sure to like and subscribe for future episodes. We'll see you next time.